welcome to Two Modern Mystics with your co-hosts, Dawn Fleming and Linda Robach, who are here to offer you a deeper perspective of what is really going on and how you can disconnect from the chaos and plug into a higher consciousness.
Welcome to Two Modern Mystics. I am Dawn Fleming, and I feel so blessed that you are all joining us today and opening to the greatness within you. We are so lucky to have an amazing guest, Dr. Stephanie Porter, with us today, and she will be discussing spontaneous healing, a subject I know many people are interested in. Right now, I want to introduce my co-host, Linda Robach. Linda is my good friend. She's an incredible light and mystic healer. And I just want to say that when you're on this path, it's really wonderful to have someone in your life that vibrates where you are and that understands the journeys that you take into those mystical realms. And I'm just so fortunate to have Linda in my life as she travels in those same realms. Linda is an amazing alchemist, healer, and educator, and it is my honor to know her and to do this show with her. Hello, Linda.
Wow. Hello, Dawn, and thank you. Wow, that is so true. We have been cohorts and supporters of each other's path over these years, and I want you to know how I love doing this show with you, dear friend. You are such a beacon for others, and as you share your gifts and have shared them over the years, I have really seen transformation occur, and you are a fabulous, dependable, and creative co-host. And I just find joy in working with you. And I want our listeners to know that you are an example of someone who lives in alignment with their truth.
Thank you, Linda.
Oh, so our topic today, which you mentioned, is on spontaneous healing. And we're so happy to have another modern mystic and a very good friend, Dr. Stephanie Porter, here with us today. And Stephanie is a licensed naturopathic doctor who is passionate about the healing power of natural medicine. She's a family care practitioner who specializes in, get this, cancer, women's health, and in gastrointestinal issues. She's a graduate of Bastyr University in Kenmore, Washington. And after practicing for a number of years in the Northwest, Stephanie returned to Maryland in 2006 and founded the Bodie Clinic. And she has been an integral part of the successful effort to achieve licensure for naturopathic doctors here in Maryland. And it's just, I've been so proud of her, yes. So, welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you, Linda and Dawn, and it's a pleasure to be here with the two of you and on such an incredible show. You bring a lot to the listeners, and I look forward to adding to that body of knowledge that you've been sharing with people. And also in deep gratitude for all the listeners out there for being here and the work that you're doing as well. So hopefully today we'll add some thought-provoking information to your lives to improve them and share information and wisdom that we have.
Well, thank you. So, let's just get started into the questions. So, Stephanie, will you share with our listeners about your journey into the field of naturopathic medicine?
Yes, Dawn. So, from a spiritual standpoint, and I think that healing involves body, mind, and spirit, so I'll share a little bit with spiritual path. About by the age of 5 years old, I had posed a lot of questions to a pastor at a church I was attending and was really not happy with the answers I received. So it sent me out on a search to read the Bible, to discuss more with people, and to really seek answers on kind of why we're here and what religion means and what spirituality means. And at some point I kind of realized it wasn't the teachings, but it was the teacher that really brought new ideas and information to me. So it sent me out on a search that led me to travel around the world and study various religions and spiritual paths, and now I kind of see connections between all of them and gifts that they all bring to us. In between that, in the more of the physical standpoint, really I guess it kind of starts in elementary school. I received a note from a teacher there that if I did not improve my handwriting, I was going to fail. So they say doctors have horrible handwriting, so maybe it started then. However, as time went on, I took a different path, and I went into fiber optic networks and spent a good bit of time in a very, very interesting new field, and really was disillusioned a little bit about kind of what it meant to be successful and what money meant and what life was about. So I ended up taking a year off and traveling, and during that time, I was exposed to knowledge and wisdom and different ways of healing in various other countries, and it was very surprising and eye-opening to me. And at the end of the trip, the third family member of mine was diagnosed with cancer, and this time it was my stepfather who was diagnosed with a pancreatic cancer. And at that point in time, there was very little that could be done, and his prognosis was 3 months. So we sent out our family and friends to research and see what other options there were other than just conventional. And at that time, there was no internet, so it was a little more difficult to do the research than today. However, our eyes opened up to an incredible world of herbs, diet, lifestyle, energy work, homeopathics, medicine using water called hydrotherapy, and so on and so forth. And we worked actually with some different types of therapies. The conventional options for chemotherapy really did not promise very much at that time. And just fascinating story. So after my stepfather did pass away in 4 months, but he had a very high quality of life, and he was able to be at home the entire time, and it ended up being a wonderful experience. What that led me into was the understanding and seeing the best and the worst of conventional medicine and realizing that truly there were other options that could combine with that, which is now called integrative medicine, and possibly give people different options and different outcomes. So I really at that time started working at a health food store. It was the only place I knew of that could teach me about herbs, nutrients, and medicine and homeopathics and diet, and heard fascinating, amazing stories and started researching what type of education was out there that could teach me what I needed to speak intelligently to an oncologist and really be able to give research and reasons why these other options should be made available. In about probably a 2-3 week period, Bastyr University was mentioned to me 3 times in naturopathic medicine. So I went online and looked at it. I was fascinated because the thought of going into conventional medicine had never crossed my mind, and there were certain things in my philosophy that were a little bit different. So the principles of naturopathic medicine include, first, do no harm, the healing power of nature, identify and treat the cause, doctor is teacher, prevention is the best cure, and treat the whole person, or treat the individual, we often say as well. I also tend to add in there my own belief that the body has the innate ability to heal. So when I saw that philosophy, I said, okay, whatever it takes, this is where I need to be. And it would give me a license to practice as a primary care physician in licensed states, which again would give me the knowledge and understanding of medicine and the intelligence and wisdom to speak to other healthcare professionals and introduce them to integrative medicine. So it was quite a journey that took me there, but I've been practicing for 15 years now and just love and enjoy the work I do and what I'm able to share with patients.
So, Stephanie, this is Linda again. What do we know about the innate ability for the body to heal?
So, excellent question, Linda. So, from a standpoint of physical and kind of physiology and cellular physiology, there's really 4 ways that we understand and know about. I did my thesis in naturopathic medical school on what causes cancer, and it was fascinating because it's hundreds of thousands of things. And some combination of probably 50 to 100 of them that might cause it in any individual person. So what we do know is that from a standpoint of cellular repair and DNA repair, because obviously the damage and mutations of the DNA create most chronic illnesses and cancer definitely. So there's 3 options that we know of: repair, the cell repairs itself, apoptosis, which is a similar thing to cell death, where the cell simply says, I'm no longer serving the whole and disintegrates itself. And if neither of those happen, it's up to the immune system to remove that mutated cell. There's another area there, which is called spontaneous healing, which we'll talk about in a little bit more detail in a minute. But spontaneous healing is something that simply happens. And we've seen it in chronic cases as well as, you know, very minor cases. So in the medical field, they were called outliers. And I started studying outliers, you know, about 10 years ago. And it's taken me down this new road where spontaneous healing is now a part of that as well. And there have been a few books written, starting with Andrew Weil and moving on to various others. So what we'll explore a little bit more is what is spontaneous healing and how is that part of the healing of body, mind, and spirit.
Mm. So, Stephanie, what else can you share about our body's inner pharmacy?
Very good question, Dawn. And I'm going to take us back a little bit in time. Really, medicine had kind of a 50-year turnover time of change where we would learn new knowledge, and it would take about 50 years to truly incorporate it into the conventional medical system. We're at a point now where things are moving so fast and happening so fast, from week to week, things are changing. So we do have a lot of difficulty with how do we change our system quickly enough to keep up with this new information and knowledge. And it's a real challenge for all of us, conventional medical docs, naturopathic doctors, and healthcare practitioners of any form. The Human Genome Project was one of the first big international projects to understand what caused chronic illness. And we kind of expected to find about 100,000 or so genes that made up the human. What we ended up finding was about 20,000. And then that led us to some more knowledge where we now understand that genes do not cause cancer. We thought 80 to 90% would be caused by cancer, and now we know that it's less than 3%. So that led us down a whole other path. Okay, then what is the cause? And then epigenetics come into play, and that means anything around or other than the genes. And it also took us down a road of cell signaling. So cell signaling is what happens within a cell that determines the health and well-being of that cell. And you can kind of think of a cell as a big city. When a city, every day, a cell is making thousands upon thousands of decisions. And just like a city, if the trash system breaks down, toxicities build up and the cell gets in trouble. You know, if the mail doesn't get around, they don't know what's happening in other organs and other parts of the whole. So it's a good analogy to kind of work with in understanding that. What we're learning now is that things like broccoli can change cell signaling. Things like cigarettes can change cell signaling. The question is, which way is it changing it, towards a healthy cell or towards a non-healthy cell? So when Hippocrates said many, many years ago, you are what you eat, let thy food be thy medicine and thy medicine be thy food, he was very, very correct in that, and we can now prove it scientifically. Another fascinating thing that's happening in medicine is that we're starting to understand and study light more, and we're recognizing that we are light bodies. And before, that used to be just a spiritual belief where people were painted with glowing halos around their head showing light from within out. Now what we're learning is that that actually is really true, and light comes out of every cell, light comes out of everything in the universe, and that it's a big part of who and what we are, not only as humans on this earth, but as the bigger picture, as universes and multiverses. So some of the fascinating research now, Deepak Chopra is doing some amazing work where he's working with meditation and showing that meditation actually changes cell signaling, meaning that things like cytokines, which are one form of cell signaling, can be altered in a positive way, which means a decreased risk in all forms of chronic illness, not just cancer, that simply meditating physically changes our cells. So again, the body of information in how we heal and what healing is just exponentially growing, and just a fascinating field to be in.
Oh, I really... I'm glad to hear you say that about meditation. And it was interesting that the three of us did a little bit of a centering meditation before we started the show. It made such a difference to me just to be breathing and consciously. And then we did some toning as well. And that, I thought, the sound also helps us when we are in these kind of bodies right now. And that leads me to my question. how can we handle not having a physical healing?
That's an excellent question as well, and I'm going to backtrack a little bit before I step into that one, because there are a few things about the inner pharmacy that I think are really important for people to know and understand, and that will lead me into the next question there. There's a thing called the placebo effect, and until the placebo effect in medicine, we really felt that the only forms of healing came from a pharmaceutical or actually interfering with the body's ability to heal. What we learned from this, and the original research came from a German story during World War II, where we ran out of, where they ran out of pain medications, and a nurse made a decision to take a placebo pill and hand it to every single person in pain and tell them that it was a pain medication. And within minutes, all of the GIs were out of pain. So, you know, some nurses were very upset that this was being done. They thought it was inappropriate, and when they saw the results, they were shocked and amazed. So it led to a whole kind of new study of research. You know, what is in our body? What do we have access to? And when we exercise has been shown to decrease your risk of cancer or chronic illnesses from a prevention standpoint more than anything else we know. And it produces something called endorphins, which is endogenous morphine. These endorphins give us a sense of well-being and really, really make us feel happy, actually euphoric at times. People have heard of a runner's high and things like that. We also have serotonin. And the reason I bring serotonin up is it has to do with our sense of well-being and mild depression and depression. We originally thought that that was manufactured in the brain because it's where it had its effect. We now know that it's actually manufactured 80 to 90% of it in the gastrointestinal system, our gut. So oftentimes we've heard people say, what is your gut feeling? And again, we've known these things, we just didn't have the scientific backing to prove it to ourselves. And this is a big piece of how science and religion and medicine are all coming together again. So laughter is another one. They've actually shown, I don't know if everyone's heard of telomeres and telomerases, but that deals with longevity and our longevity and how long we're here on Earth. As the telomerase, which is an enzyme, knocks off a piece of the telomere, you have so many telomeres, and when they're done, you are done in this physical form. So there's research now showing that laughter increases your telomeres and slows down telomerase activity. So if you want to look younger and stay younger, then laughing is a really good idea for you. Walking in the woods can increase natural killer cells. Natural killer cells are one of the only cells in our body that has the ability to gobble up a cancer cell and destroy it without having to communicate with anyone else or basically go through a very long involved process. So I think these are really important things to understand about the power of our physical healing in our body and what we're capable of. And again, this is one part of body, mind, and spirit.
And I like the idea about laughter increases longevity. And I think I've heard this too, that laughter is the best facelift, smiling and laughter. So I like that.
Yes.
So would you continue to tell us a little more about how we handle or can handle not having a physical healing?
Yes. So dealing with cancer patients and anyone out there dealing with cancer, you know, you're facing that age-old question of basically the fact that you may die before you planned on it. You know, as human beings, we're all born with a death sentence. So when we're born in this physical form on planet Earth, we have a limited time to be in the physical form. You know, this is not addressing spirit or if you believe in reincarnation or if you believe in multiverses and some of the new information coming out in metaphysics and things. However, from the physical standpoint, our soul has a certain amount of time here on Earth. And what I try to help cancer patients understand is that the anger and the fear comes from the fact that it may happen sooner than they want. So I think it's very important for us all to understand that physical healing is not always what happens or what is needed. Oftentimes, I can go in about five directions with this, but let's start with the fact that, you know, as a soul, when we come down here onto the earth, we come down here with certain jobs to do or certain things to accomplish. And sometimes those jobs may not be for ourselves, but for somebody else that we've chosen to come down with. So the physical healing for us may not be what we need. It might be a lesson or understanding for someone else, or it might be that we've chosen to be here for a very short period of time. There's such a bigger picture going on in the larger multiverse and universe that we can't always understand it in this physical form. So I try to help people work with body, mind, and spirit and see, you know, if you die tomorrow, what would you want to do today? What purpose are you here for, and what needs to happen? And then I also will pose a question to people, if you were to never die, if you lived forever, what would you do? These two questions elicit very different responses and ways of looking at things and people, but it helps us put perspective again to what can I do today? None of us know how long we're going to be here, and it is certainly not my job as a naturopathic doctor to understand that. What my job is to walk with people on the journey, help them with quality of life and whatever quantity of life they're meant to have, and to have that in the healthiest possible way. So, you know, again, the physical healing is something that is a piece of it, but not always what happens for that individual person.
Wow. And so I know you've worked with a lot of patients and you've had a lot of experiences, so share with us a little deeper about your experiences with your patients and, you know, what that healing means to them.
Okay. So I'll use fake names as I speak about different patients or just initials. and what I think some of the stories that may help people the most, you know, for example, I'll start with a patient, RK. She was a 75-year-old female who came in and was diagnosed with breast cancer with Mets, and actually initially thought that it was going to be a lower stage cancer until she fell down and found out that her femur had broken, her leg had broken. And lo and behold, she had bone Mets that nobody knew about. So that moves her up to stage 5. And the prognosis for that was about, you know, three to five months. And they wanted her to go on chemotherapy and various other things, but there wasn't any guarantee about survivorship with that. It was more to work with side effects and hopefully keep her out of pain. So she showed up in my office and just basically said, I'm not ready to go yet. And I'd like to know what integrative medicine has to offer. So we talked about a lot of different things. She had a daughter who was very important to her, and she'd been living a very kind of docile life and not really doing a lot. So we talked about diet. We talked about exercise. We talked about purpose in life. So she went on a mission, and she changed her diet. She changed her lifestyle. She lost 40 pounds. She was in yoga. She was in Pilates. She was in another class of some form, I can't remember, but very physical. She had dropped certain friends in her life that she felt were a little toxic, and she had spent more time with people who was really important to her. So about 3.5 years went by, and she had to have a checkup with her oncologist, as always, and during that time they found some spots on her liver. So she came in very upset and said, you know, I've been told I have terminal cancer and I'm going to die. I did have to kind of catch myself for a minute because I said, Roma, you were told that 3.5 years ago. And at any rate, she looked at me kind of strange for a minute, and then she kind of smiled and laughed. I said, you didn't believe it then, so, you know, right now, what's changed? And she stopped and thought about it, and she said, you're right. Okay, I'm not ready yet, so what can we do now? So we worked with a few more aggressive therapies and really focused on the liver. And about 2.5 years later, with her quality of life maintaining at the same level, she the liver Mets did grow a bit, and basically she came in and you could tell, or I could tell, her vital force was very low and that the cancer was now starting to take over. So we had a whole different conversation. We had a conversation about hospice and her final words to her daughter and things like that. And about 2 months later, she passed at home with her daughter. Very, very little pain, very little discomfort, and that's amazing for a person with bone Mets. So, you know, again, my journey is to walk with people where they are and to help them look at all aspects of body, mind, and spirit, and to hold a space for the fact that they, too, could be an outlier and that there could be a spontaneous healing. But I try to be careful, too, to help people remember to prepare for the worst and expect the best.
Mm. Oh, that's a good story, and I think we can all take some learnings from that. So as we're beginning to wind down our show, I'd love for you to share with us how you see medicine changing in the 21st century.
Oh, this is a great question. Do we have a few hours?
No.
Okay, you're going to put me on a time limit here.
I know, but I know you're going to give us some gems.
Okay, so in again, you know, medicine has changed so much in the last 20 years. We're all trying to keep up with it. So pretty much we went from a reductionism philosophy to a functional medicine philosophy, which was, you know, basically looking at labs, looking at self-signaling, looking at, you know, kind of how can we change that, how can we alter that diet, lifestyle, herbs, pharmaceuticals, so on and so forth. Then we kind of moved into systems biology, you know, not what is happening in one specific area, but what's happening in the larger system. Now we're looking at stress. Now we're looking at lifestyle. Now we're looking at community. Now we're looking at family health. We've added in quite a few factors to the healthcare system and what's important. So it's a little more complex, as you can tell. We've added in meditation and things in body, mind, and spirit. There's a great book called The Buddha's Brain that talks a lot about our mind and how it can affect our health and well-being. Now we're moving into what's called consciousness-based medical paradigm, and Deepak Chopra has really been a leader in this area and just opening new doors in all ways. And this is where we're getting to the point where we're actually studying different types of medicine and healing that have been around for thousands of years, and we're able to show through models using self-signaling and things like this how it changes it. Now, consciousness is also taking us to a whole other level, because not only do we have the consciousness of ourselves, the consciousness of our family unit, the consciousness of our community unit, the consciousness of our gender, the consciousness of our country, the consciousness of our earth, the planet we reside on, as well as our universe and various other multiverses. There's actually research that's been done to show how long it takes for a thought from the universe to come to us as a human. You know, again, this is just, you know, groundbreaking information, and it's all proven in research. What do we do with this, and what does it mean? So there's lots of different avenues and places that you can look, and, you know, again, I think light therapy and treatments with light are going to be a huge area, and spontaneous healing, I think, is going to be more available to us as we understand truly who and what we are from body, mind, and spirit. There's some fascinating people as well doing research in this. Barbara Hubbard's an amazing woman who has done a lot of work on how do we take this from ourselves to our Earth and our planet. And there's some great research out of Johns Hopkins University as well on this. So there's a lot of resources for people to look at and a lot of different ways that we can go with healing in the 21st century. But 10 years from now, we're going to look back and just be shocked at where we were and how far we've come.
Well, that's really exciting, and I kind of agree with what you said with Barbara Hubbard about it's not just about healing the individual, it's about healing the collective, and I think when we put that energy out there to heal the collective, it impacts all of us, because like you said, we're all interconnected. So this is really wonderful information, and I feel like all of us light workers out there have been a part of this wave of showing that there is different ways to integrate into what the medical community is offering. And it's exciting that we've been on the forefront of this part with all the energy work we've been doing. So, Stephanie, if people want to learn more about this topic, what do you recommend? How can our listeners get in touch with you if they want more information?
Yes, so the best way to get in touch with me is through, call the office, 410-923-8888, or visit my website, www.bodhiclinic.com, and that's BODHIclinic.com. And I have some good blogs on there where I'm trying to write a little bit more about some of these topics. Hopefully there'll be more to come in the future. There's also a workshop that myself and another friend who's an acupuncturist are going to be offering November 7th in Ashton, Maryland. It's going to be a one-day retreat on spontaneous healing. So those are just some things about me and what I'm doing in the near future here. There's also a great deal of resources out there, and you know, I think it's important for people to realize you can come to these conclusions about our consciousness and who and what we really are from many different avenues. There's no one perfect way for anybody. For some people, they find it through religion. For other people, they find it through meditation. For other people, they find it through exercise. For other people, they find it through, you know, being in nature and walking in the woods and working with the earth. It really, really depends on what you as the individual relate to and connect with. There are amazing number of books out there. Deepak Chopra has a ton of books. There's one called Unlocking the Heart of Healing by Bridget Hughes. There is
And let me stop you on that one, because we've had Bridget on our show before.
Wonderful.
And she talked about Unlocking the Heart of Healing. And I wish you would say just a little bit more about the workshop you have coming up with her.
Okay, yeah. And I'll have to listen to that. And is it easy for people to listen to old other shows that have been done in the past?
Yes, we do have all of them are archived, and people can go in and listen.
Excellent. Excellent. So the workshop is going to be on spontaneous healing and empowering our inner pharmacy. So we're going to touch on over the day a great deal of the information we spoke about here, but in much more detail, and we'll have exercises and meditation practices to deepen the understanding and the knowledge in your body and at a cellular level. Sometimes when our mind gets in the way, it's much harder for us to accomplish things and get where we want. And you know, I think that the Tibetans have been great teachers for us in understanding how to not allow the mind to control us, but to work from a different space, and a lot of working from heart-centered, the divine heart, the divine oneness. How do we do that, and how do we work with that? So it'll be very didactic. There'll be information from research and spiritual standpoint to actual practices you can do at home to working with bowls and using sound and vibration. There are vibrational cells and receptors on every one of our cells, and so on and so forth. So it'll be very in-depth, but a lot of fun, and it's going to be very playful. So we're going to count on the audience and people attending to help us, help us grow and learn as well.
So tell us some more about books or things that you would recommend for our listeners.
Yeah, so if the area that you feel you need to work on the most is the mind, then there's a book called The Buddha's Brain, and there's various forms of meditation, meditative tapes. Some are in silence, some are actually speaking to you. If you're more of an energy person, then there's a great deal of books on the chakras and the healing of the chakras and the different meaning in each chakra. For example, each chakra is related to an organ, emotion, certain endocrine systems, certain physical systems, so on and so forth that you can work with.
And I would like to just interject something. Dawn has written a book on chakras, right, Dawn? Chakra healing?
Yes, it's called Chakra Empowerment, 24 Days of Transformation. And it goes into all those things that you just said and how work with the chakras to create that spontaneous healing.
And how do I get one of those books, Dawn?
Well, I'll email you afterwards, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
Well, I'll say it right now for all the listeners. My website is energytransformations.org, and there's a link there to all the books that I've written, and you can order that book right online, and it's on Amazon.com as well.
Excellent. That's great. Yeah, and then, you know, if religion is more of the way that you connect with and work with, you know, studying deeper to the deeper knowledge and understanding of that religion, you know, there's, you know, for example, in the Bible, there's various forms and verses and ways of looking at things in various teachers. If it's Hinduism, there's various teachers and spiritual practice and Agni ceremonies and fire ceremonies that you can do. You know, if it's more of a Buddhist, then the meditation and silent retreats. Silent retreats are probably one of the hardest things for us as Americans. We tend to be very, very heavy on the mind, and it's difficult for us to kind of quiet that, and being in silence too long can be scary for some people. So I encourage you to have a teacher or a guide if you're going to do an extended silent meditation, but it is an extremely, extremely powerful experience. 30 days is the longest I've done, and I really would like to do a longer one. Just very, very empowering. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, if you love the outdoors, then backpacking, you know, is a wonderful way, or camping or kayaking. So on and so forth. And in gardening, I think, you know, especially organic gardening with some of the problems with our food chain in this country is a really, really good thing to pick up, you know, getting back in touch with your food chain, getting back in touch with the energy of the plants that provide so much for us. You know, as an herbalist, it's just such a powerful thing for me. I've gone out and harvested plants. I've made my own tinctures. I've worked with the plants. They offer so much to us, you know, so much to us. So I think just getting back to our roots, getting back to family, getting back to laughter, getting back to time with friends, you know, to really really spending that time you want. From a standpoint of spontaneous healing, there's two or three really good books out right now, and I'm going to mention two. One is Dying to Be Me, My Journey from Cancer to Near Death by Anita Morjani. Fascinating book, and she touches on some tough topics. You know, if we're a spiritual person who's done a lot of work and eaten a vegan diet and are diagnosed with cancer, there can sometimes be an ego side where, well, wait a minute, this shouldn't be happening to me, and we can get lost in that ego and not really be able to be with the process. She really addresses things like that pretty carefully and her process, and I just felt that it was a very good book for people to read. Spontaneous Healing, which is written by, it's called How to Discover and Embrace Your Body's Natural Ability to Maintain and Heal Itself by... Actually, that's the one by Andrew Weil, and that's a good one. Radical Remission by Kelly Turner. This is another very well-done book, and she's trying to document things that have not been documented in conventional medicine because they didn't seem important. However, now we're realizing that they are extremely important. So she's been putting together a website and in her book interviewed hundreds of people who have, you know, had spontaneous healings and have survived cancer against all odds. And that's another fascinating book with some really good information in it. So those would be my top two from that standpoint.
Would you give the name, the author, and the name of the book again?
Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds. And it's written by a woman named Kelly Turner.
Good.
And
I just want to
say, I read the book Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani, and it was outstanding because in her process, she was at the end stage where she was passing over and just had the realizations of where her life was out of alignment with who she really was. And when she came back, she had that realization that she needed to live in alignment with who she was and not try to please other people and try to be who other people wanted her to be. And like within 3 weeks, she was completely healed of this cancer that had spread through her whole body.
Yes.
Just amazing. And she also has videos on, I think, it's either the TED Talks or YouTube that the listeners can go online and check out. It's Anita Morjani, Morjani, because her story is fascinating, and it just shows the potential that's out there when we're willing to do that work to bring our life into alignment. With being an energy worker and working with people with cancer, and I talk to them, some people they feel like it's too much work to bring their life into alignment. Because it's been out of alignment for so long. And they're just accepting the fact that they're going and they want to go, and they're using the energy work to treat the side effects, help relieve the pain and the impact of that, or just to get peace in that process. Whereas other people who, like you said, your one client, determined that she was still ready to live, and so her whole attitude kept her here for three or more years. So it is just a fascinating field that through the old medical model, there isn't a way to put this into this is how it happens. It's just an individual process.
The other beauty, two beautiful things about her particular story is that it was very well documented how severe her case was. She was in end organ failure. I mean, you know, literally there's no question or doubt that this woman was about to die. And it is a beautiful story for conventional docs because sometimes they don't have the background or research to say, I can pursue these ideas and look at this and speak to patients about this possibility more. And this has opened some doors for them to give them research and information in a way that, that helps them share this with more people as well.
It is validated.
Yes.
You said, mm-hmm. Because it was so well documented that, okay, they can say, this really happened. That's an excellent point. Gives people more food for thought when they look at what healing really is and different approaches to it.
And one other thing I'll quickly add about that as well that was so special about her book is it really boiled down to love. Mm-hmm. You know, the bottom core of all things, self-love, and how unconditional love is really, you know, what we are in this human form and what we're about. So touching on that, too, I thought was a beautiful point in the book.
Oh, definitely. Love is a healing power, and that's unconditional love.
Yeah, the unconditional part's important.
Yeah.
And the harder part for us, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's what I think true love is. You know,
yeah.
That's what I call true love, that unconditional, no strings attached. And it is the glue that binds us all together. I think they're going to find that one day, that's what it is. So this leads us to announcements, and I'll just mention a couple of things before we begin to close here. I have an Inner Wisdom class at Anne Arundel Community College in Maryland. And that's going to be Saturday, October the 24th. And if anybody's interested, if they just go to the Anne Arundel County Community College, AACC, Anne Arundel Community College website, it's aacc.edu, you can register there. And I have a Karuna Reiki class coming up on October the 30th here in Arnold, Maryland. And I'm excited, Dawn and I are going to be interviewing Jane Howard Fellman, and she's going to be discussing how to work with angels. She's an amazing light worker, and she is an angel, and I think we're going to all benefit from that time with her. So, Dawn, what do you have coming up?
I would say that Jane, it will be on our show on November 11th.
Yes.
Yes. So,
November the 11th.
I have a workshop in Sedona called Creating a Successful Holistic Health Practice, and that is November 14th and 15th. And we talk about both the inner and the outer work that needs to be done to create a successful holistic health practice. And really, if you have any kind of small business or you're an entrepreneur, what I'm teaching there definitely would relate to what you're doing. And then I'll just say again, my chakra book is Chakra Empowerment, 24 Days of Transformation, and has all kinds of information about what the chakras are about physically, emotionally, and mentally, and how you can work with the chakra energy to create balance so that the body doesn't move into states of illness or dis-ease. So, Stephanie, I want to thank you so much for sharing your passion and knowledge with us. We greatly appreciate all that you've shared with us. And I just want to thank our listeners for sharing your light and beingness and blessings with us. May you tune into that inner healer within you to find and create the perfection that you are. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.